we're up to Perek Vav. We are up to the middle of Perek Vav where it says, just a moment, turn to the page, Pasek Vav. Vav Vav, how do you like that? Two Vav, so Vav Vav. Now before we go to the next Pasek, Pasek, I want us to review one very popular Medrash. I am certain you heard the Medrash, so we've been inside because the Medrash was said in reference to the previous Pasek. It's a very popular Medrash. It's almost impossible to go through a Tisha B'Av if you go to a shiur on Tisha B'Av or some type of kinos. You'll always hear one of the speakers mention this Medrash, and the Medrash is again rooted in what it says in Pasek Vav. Kumu v'nala v'layla v'nashchisa v'nosechah p'sad pasek before pasek dalid kachu alecha milchama kumu v'nala v'atzoharoim oy lanu kifono hayom ki yinatu tzilei aref. Perek Vav Pasek Hey. We are up to Pasek Perek Vav Pasek Vav, but I want to go back for one moment to Pasek Hey. Can Pasek Dalid. Pasek, we mentioned last week, I gave an idea that I thought it's an important idea, is that we're having this discussion, a discussion that there are really 4 days which relate directly to the Churban Beis HaMikdash when it was destroyed. Zayin, Ches, Tes, and Yud. Zayin is when the enemies entered the walls of Yerushalayim. Ches is when they plundered all the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. And the ninth day, of course, was when they ignited, they torched the Beis HaMikdash. And the tenth day is when the Beis HaMikdash was burnt. When the Mikdash burned, most of the destruction, the churban, the burning, took place on day 10. So if you really want to talk, you really want to pick a day when it would be a day that would be correct, appropriate, to commemorate the churban Beis HaMikdash, any one of these 4 days is a fair candidate for commemoration of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Some would say Zion really is the Ikar. In fact, there is in Halacha, I don't know the details, but in Halacha, Zion does have special significance. The degree of Avelos, if I'm not mistaken, the degree of Avelos is more, I don't know really what practical difference, but there is a Darga of severity on Zion more so than the previous days of Chodesh Av, because Zion is when the enemy actually entered into the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. Ches was when a great degree of chiluk of profaning the Beis HaMikdash, and Tes is when it was ignited, and Yud is when it actually was destroyed. Now, and we mentioned why do we commemorate day 9? We commemorate day 9 because, as I said, an idea is because we have an actual record here in this pasuk in Yirmiyah, Klal Yisrael's anguish on day 9. We don't have a record of what they said on day 7. We don't have a record of their expression of tsar on day 8. And we don't have an expression of what they said on day 10. But we do have an actual record of what they said on day 9. Oy lanu, woe to us. The day is coming to an end. Now, and that interpretation, we understood the words Oilanu as a reference to Klal Yisrael. According to the Mitzudos, the symbol and meaning of these words Oilanu refers to the enemy, the Babylonians, the Kazdim. They expressed their frustration that they would not be able to complete the Churban on that day. They would have to wait until the next day. However, there's a very popular Medrash that ascribes the word Oilanu as a reference to Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah was the one who said these words Oilanu Kifana Hayom, based upon this very, very well-known Medrash. And let me read through the entire thing. I'll skip around a little bit to just not to make it too long. This is from I'm sure it's Necharab. The one that he's quoting from over here is Oitzah HaMidrashim in Sefer Yirmiyah, which is a Likut. I assume it's drawing it from, he's not telling me where it's from exactly. This Oitzah HaMidrashim, I don't have the exact source. Oitzah HaMidrashim, the Eisenstein edition, Yirmiyah, page 247. Where was that taken from? Very likely from Echaraba. Where in Echaraba? I do not know. So let me just read you the basic words. Could be sometimes it's a Yalkut, or it's an obscure Medrash, but it's definitely cited very often. Here we go. There is some extra bayer in this. I'm quoting from not every word is in the Medrash Mamish, but I'll just add in some words. Almo nema pasuk zeh, and again, you know this already. It's just kedai to review the basic yisoidas. Al churban beis hamigdash is pasuk oy lanu kitzonam kifana hayoyim is said in reference to the beis hamigdash ki b'shas shiratzak l'shmarchu lahakrev es beis hamigdash. Omar hakadosh baruch hu liyirmiya. Hashav sent to Yirmiyah. I have a mission. Yirmiyah was always located in Yerushalayim. That was where he hung out. Hashem said to Yirmiyah, get out. I have a mission for you. I want you to go to where you come from, Anassos. Yirmiyah, in the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah, we're told that he came from Anassos. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yirmiyah, Lech Anassos. Shekolzman, why? Why did Hashem send Yirmiyah on a mission? Shekolzman, Sheyirmiyah, but here, Lo Hayu Oivim Nechnasim L'Saycha, because long as Yirmiyah was there, the enemy was unable, his kedusha, his sanctity, prevented the enemy from able to entering, from being allowed to enter. That's why Yirmiyah was dismissed, and that opened up the way for the enemy to come.
Why did he refuse?
Maybe he can, maybe Hashem, he's not allowed to refuse. Hashem tells him he can't refuse, and maybe he wasn't aware it was a trick. That his leaving Yerushalayim would allow them to enter. Yad Kishayatza, the moment he left, Nichnasu Shama Oivim, they entered, Vehidliku Esoir Vesarfu Beis Hamigdash, they burnt the Beis Hamigdash. Uchashachazar Yirmiyah, lovely Yerushalayim, Yirmiyah came back on Tisha B'Av, midday. I don't know. Obviously not. I don't know. I really don't know. He made it halfway there. He was returning. He saw the smoke of the city from a distance. He tore his clothing. And he ran coming into the city. Now the question the Medrash asks, why was he in a rush? What is he going to accomplish by coming into the city when the city is burning? So here we come to the point that I want to mention, because this goes back to an event that took place many, many years ago when Yirmiyah was a child. Yirmiyah and Nebuchadnezzar were buddies. It's a very famous medrash. They were buddies. Nebuchadnezzar. It's not Nicharabo?
No.
Nowhere? Okay. So Nebuchadnezzar and Yirmiyah were children, and they were buddies, and they were playing with each other in the playground. Yachad ve'osa yoyim lo hayu Nebuchadnezzar melchiim oni v'nivze. That's what it says. In those days, Nebuchadnezzar was a nothing. He was a poor man, he was despised, and he was a child, and he was playing with Yirmiyah in the playground. Ve'hayu oimer, and Nebuchadnezzar said to Yirmiyah, mi yitein, if only, v'hayisi melech al kol ha'olam kulo, ha'yisi ba al Yerushalayim, v'soyreif espes ha'migdosh, v'ho'ir v'horek ha'kol v'hashar, ani oilichein ba'shevi. Yirmiyah said, if Hashem would only allow it to be, I will become a melech, I will rule the world, I will destroy Yerushalayim, burn the Beis HaMikdash, kill everyone, and any survivor I will bring into exile, take into exile. Yirmiyah, who was then a little child, playing with his friend Nebuchadnezzar, he recognized that what Nebuchadnezzar was saying was real. Nebuchadnezzar was, this was an event which had significance. Raha Yirmiyah beruach hakodesh shehasha oimedes lo, that the hour was in his favor, whatever that means. The chol hayoytze mipiv osid lihios, whatever Nebuchadnezzar would say was a true prediction of what would come in years later. So Yirmiyah at this moment in time took advantage and said, Shoal Mimenu. Yirmiyah said, okay, let's play this imaginary game, Nebuchadnezzar. You're the ruler over the entire world. You're gonna conquer Yerushalayim. You're gonna burn the city. You're gonna do whatever you want. Do me a favor. Give me something. Give me Yerushalayim. Tain li Yerushalayim. You have the whole world, Nebuchadnezzar, in your imaginary mind. Don't you think it would be enough to give me Yerushalayim, to split the spoils with me? Amar lo, lo yetein. Nebuchadnezzar said, no, I'm not going to give you Yerushalayim. Shuv amar lo yetein li es beis hamigdash. Okay, you're not going to give me Yerushalayim, please give me beis hamigdash. Amar lo, lo yetein. Shuv amar lo yetein li Sanhedrin. At least give me the Sanhedrin. Amar lo, lo yetein. Amar lo yetein li tinoikoy shol beis rabon. Amar loy loy etain. Amar loy. So Yirmiyah said, "Mati tenli, come on, Nebuchadnezzar. We're playing a game here, and you are playing Monopoly. We're playing Risk. I think Risk is a better analogy. Right? We're playing Risk. I haven't played that probably in maybe 300 years. I haven't played that game.
Still going on. That same game,
the
last game that you were at.
Still playing it. Okay, dividing up the world." Okay, give me, they're playing Mamash, they're playing Risk. Risk, I think the Chavetz Chaim refers to it. Risk of Balas? Is that, I think there's someone that refers to that game. I don't know, the Kaimoinim. Okay, whatever. You're dividing up the world. So Yirmiyah, come on, Nebuchadnezzar, give me at least something. You don't want to give me Yerushalayim, you don't want to give me Sedishim, the Sanhedrin, the children. Give me. So Omar Loi, so Nebuchadnezzar said to Yirmiyah, Kol ma shetuchal lahatzil lohitzi min o'ir mechatzi hayoim ad ho'erev yiyesh shelucho. Whatever you can say from the second half of the day to the end of the day, on the day when I destroy Yerushalayim, is yours. There's a day that's going to come, we're going to destroy Yerushalayim. You can have 6 hours. 6 hours, whatever you can spare during those 6 hours is yours to keep. Ulekach mir, therefore, he now, it's been, I don't know how many years later, 50 years later, 100 years later, I don't know how long the dates, but it happened. Nebuchadnezzar rose in power, became the king of the entire world. And Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Yerushalayim, he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, he destroyed the Sanhedrin, he destroyed the Tinei Kashrut Beis Rava. And Yirmiyah was on a mission in Anosos. He comes back at a distance, it's 3 mil from Yerushalayim, he's in the middle of the day, and he sees from the distance that Yerushalayim is up in flames. And now he remembers the conversation he had with Nebuchadnezzar 75 years ago, whatever it was. And he realizes the only thing he'll be able to succeed in saving is what he can remove from the city from Chatzos Hayoim to the end of the day. So he runs as fast as his feet can carry him to Yerushalayim to save whatever is left. And guess what? When he reaches Yerushalayim, it's already the very last moment of the day, and he cries out, and that's what the Medrash says, he cries out these words, Oy lanu, woe to us. Now he's speaking, but he's referring to the entire Klal Yisrael, Kifono hayoim, the day is over. I had 6 full hours to take out of the city whatever I could possibly save, whatever that means, but it's too little too late, ki yinotu, Silile Orev, the shade of the evening has spread. In other words, I only have 1 minute left. From 6 hours, it's been reduced to 1 minute. Ulukoch mir Yirmiyah lover liyushalayim vehayoyis loy bo ad arev. He only arrived when it already was the evening. The eino yachol lahatzil ish. He wasn't able to save anything. Vezehu shenemar oy lanu kifano hayom. So this is the bad mazel that he had. Okay, what's the lesson? It's a very powerful message. Two children playing, and you don't know. Sometimes with two children, they say things. They really, it's like a minor prophecy. You have that in the Gemara. I don't remember one of the Amoraim. He said he was sitting there, and he had a. And there were two Amorayim, and there was a little girl, the daughter of one of the Rebbeim, and she was playing with the two boys. And the Rebbe said to her, which one of them do you want to marry? And she said, both. I want to marry both of them. And Kachava, she married one, and then that Talmud died, and then she married the second one. You have this very often. The Gemara says, in time of Chazal, a minor prophecy, you say to a child, psoikli psukech, what did you learn today in yeshiva? And whatever pasuk he says is an omen for what's going to happen that day. Here you have this idea with Yirmiyah, Nebuchadnezzar, children playing together. Nebuchadnezzar says something, he imagines he's going to be the king of the world, what he's going to do. Yirmiyahu negotiates, and these things are Dvarim Ha'imdim Beruma Shalaylam, and indeed, had Klal Yisrael had more merit, Yirmiyahu would have been able to make good on the deal and accomplish very much during those 6 hours and save a significant chelik of Klal Yisrael. But we were not roy. And we were not roy. We have here with this pasuk says in Perek Vav, pasuk Dalet, Oy lanu, ki fono hayom, ki inatu tzilulei oref. So sach hakol, we've really taken away from this, I think, 4 ideas. The first idea was a reminder that this pasuk we draw from on Yom Kippur. Very popular chelik of Mi'ilah. We borrow from this. Ki fono hayom. And the second idea is the enemy is making this statement. The enemy is frustrated that they were not unable to conquer the city in one day. They have to delay their conquest. Third idea is Klal Yisrael is expressing their frustration on Tisha B'Av, what is happening. And the fourth idea is that Yirmiyah himself is reciting these words in reference to an event that took place many years ago between him and Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, let's go back where we're up to. Up to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav begins, Ki Koyamar Hashem Tzavakas. Kirsu Eitzah. Cut down Eitzah wood. Eitzah here, we'll see in a moment, is an unusual word. Eitzah. We would be tempted to translate the word Eitzah to mean its wood. Eitz Shelah. Her wood. Referring to Yerushalayim. But if that would be correct, there would be a dot in the hay. It would be a mapeke Eitzah. Her wood. Eitz Shelah. However, there is no dot in the hay, which leads us to a new interpretation. It means cut down wood, not necessarily her wood, but just cut down wood in Bavel, cut down wood anywhere in the world and bring it to Yerushalayim to serve as a tool to conquer the city. Eitzah is a word which just means cut down, the collective noun, a lot of wood. The shift. Cut down advice. That's an idea. I thought about that. I was thinking about that, but I didn't see anyone actually say that, unless I passed over the radar too quickly, but I did not see anyone say that. That's an interesting idea. I mean, that don't accept advice. All the good advisors, in fact, we know that, and it's true, the time of Lechem Beis HaMikdash, Tzidkiyahu was advised by Yirmiyah to surrender. And indeed, had they surrendered, I think it's going to be coming up later on in the Sefer, had Yirmiyah surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar, then the Churban would not have been as drastic as it was. Who knows? The Mikdash may have been able to keep the Beis HaMikdash. It would have been a different world. The world we live in today would have been very different had it not things that happened. But part of the Churban was the Akshanos, that Tzidkiyahu did not want to surrender. They have the same thing with the Biryonim and the Bayesheni. During the time of the Bayesheni, we know they were divided into 3 different groups, the Biryonim, the Prushim, and I forgot the name, there were 3 different groups, and everyone had a different approach, and the ideal thing would have been at the time of the Bayesheni to surrender, and then it would not have been as tragic. But that was part of the Churban. Kirsu, it's just, you want to holistically translate, cut down good advice. Don't follow good advice. Veshivchu, which simply means Kirsu, cut down wood. In order to this, the one that's speaking here simply is the enemy. The enemy is speaking. The enemy is coming to Yerushalayim. They're coming to conquer to conquer the walls, to breach the walls. And in ancient times, you would build ramps, a rampart. Build ramps. And to build ramps, you have wood and you have earth. Cut down Eitzah. V'shivchu al Yerushalayim soil law. Pour a ramp. They bring earth and wood and they pour on the ground as a ramp in order to come and reach the top of the wall. Hi hu'ir. Which city are we referring to? Chofkad kula. The city that is now being visited. It's being remembered. The word Chofkad means to remember. V'Hashem Pokad es Sarah. Hashem remembered. Here it's being remembered for bad. It's being remembered. Hashem is remembering all of the sins that are done in the city. It is this city, Hofkad, that is being remembered. Why is it being remembered? Because Kula, its entirety, Oishak Bikirba. the entire city is filled with corruption. And therefore the time of reckoning has come when the city will be remembered for its sins, and therefore the enemy is given permission to cut down wood and to pour a ramp to conquer the city. Some also want to learn Eitzah means the trees. There's a halacha that you're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree, because a fruit tree is baltashkas. It's only baltashkas when there are people living in the city that need the fruit. But if the city is going to be abandoned, there's no one living in the city, so there's no purpose of having fruit trees. So then it's an illusion that the city is coming to an end. Let's see the mitzudo stav in this pasuk. No, so Hashem is saying, well, the enemy, it's a quotation of the enemy speaking, the first part. Simply, here is the way it's of the Shiv Chalish, Hashem is speaking. Hashem is giving a command, he's giving permission. He's giving a command to the enemy, to Nebuchadnezzar, that he should cut down wood and pour a ramp to destroy the city. Hashem then explains, the reason why I'm giving permission is because the city is corrupt. It's a completely corrupt city. Let's see if the Mitzvot will clarify. Mitzudos Pasig Vav, Kirsu Eitzah, Kirsu Ho'etz. Cut down wood asher sevivos Yerushalayim l'sitam im he'ofar b'soilulav. And it's also known that the wood is part of one of the ingredients that is necessary to build a ramp. I'm sure you've all seen different depictions of what it looked like when they destroyed the Bayis Rishon, the fortification with the walls, and the enemy had to overcome the walls. The way you overcome the walls is you build these massive ramps up against the wall of the city, and then you just come to the top. And there's a little battle between the people on top of the wall and the people coming up the ramp, and they fight, and eventually the people coming up the ramp win, and they come, and they're inside. And once they're inside, they lower themselves down, open up the doors, open up the gates, and then the enemy enters into the walls of the city. That was the civil technique way before helicopters and fighter jets and drones and missiles. Very different type of war. The shafru derech koyv shechu ir lishbrach. It is a derech of people who conquer the city to pour tel ofar a mound of earth mul hoir outside the city. Umasimim ba'itzim, they put in this mound wood. The oilim oleha, a ramp. They build a ramp, and they ascend the ramp lilochim aloir to fight the city. V'chein vayishbrach soy lala pasuk in Daniel, which uses the same expression to pour a ramp. Soy lala literally means a highway. But when it says you pour a highway, it means in this context a siege mound. Okay, the city is, which city are we referring to? He Hoir Hofgat. It is the city that is now being visited. It is the city that is now being remembered. Mitzudos Hofgat Kula return to Loimar. Now notice the Mitzudos had a different Mitzora. He had the word Hofgat Kula as one word, as one expression. Our ta'amim on the pasuk seem to indicate that you put a period after the word hofkat. He ho'ir hofkat, period. Because there's a zokef katon. Then it says, kula oishak bikirba, that's a tipcha, amercha seif pasuk. He puts the two words together, hofkat, and the reason why it would seem is because here, hofkat is a komatz. If it would be really clearly he ho'ir hufkat, seemingly it should be with a shurk, according to our Tamei HaMikra. It should be he ho'ir hufkat. What's hufkat? Hufkat is the beginning of Tinu Gedoyla, the beginning of an expression. So there seems to be a bit of a contradiction between the Nikud and the Tamei HaMikra. Kulor Ritzon Elaymar, Hamokoy Meshkiach B'chol U'ir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has investigated, analyzed the sins of the city, umatza oishak bekirba, and has discovered there's nothing but corruption to be found within. Pasuk, and then let's see Rashi pasuk vav korsu etza loy mapeke. There is no dot in the hay etza, and that would therefore, if it would be with a dot, it would be etz shelah. Vuhu lashon, therefore, being that there is no dot, therefore means vuhu lashon eitz. It's the collective noun. It means wood. She'ein lashon kriyas neifel alo eitza. Therefore, it means wood, and she'ein lashon cutting does not fall alo eitza. The eitz, I don't know what that means. Kriyas does not fall. She'ein lashon kriyas neifel alo eitza. Maybe it means advice.
No, he says, right, the expression of cutting is not appropriate for
Advice. Okay, so that's what you were alluding to before. You were suggesting that since it's no mapekes, maybe means counsel. Cut down advice. So Rashi seems to say that's not appropriate. That you'd never find in Tanakh the word kirsu, a rejection of advice, is never expressed with the word kirsu. There are other words to express to reject advice. Okay, this is Rashi. Rashi is Kodesh HaKadoshim. But you are to something. Maybe there is, you have to study the Mefarshim. Oh, so he's coming to reject. Obviously, Rashi is coming to reject. It's an idea. I mean, it's an idea that this Rashi Shita, that's not the correct word terminology. The Eitzah Ha'omurakan Lashon Harba Eitzim. It's the collective noun. It means cut down a lot of wood. K'moy Dagah, Lashon Dagim Dagah does not mean Dag Shelah. Dagah is a common word which means fish. The collective noun of fish. Lashon Dagim Harba. So here as well, that's what it means. It means cut down lots of wood and use the wood as an ingredient in order to build a ramp to conquer the city. It's time. Pikudasa means it's a visit. It's a visitation. The appointed time has arrived and it's now time for it to be destroyed. Let us see the Radak in Pasuk Vav.
So the
Metzudos
means Hofgad means exam.
Hofgad in the Metzudos means Hashkocha. Hashem has, right, you're right, it's a difference of opinion. Hashem has analyzed. Hofgad means, right, Hashkocha. Yeah, correct, very good. Hashem has analyzed it and has come to the conclusion there are no redeeming qualities. It's Kula Oishek Bekirba. Hofgad Kula, and the result is Oishek Bekirba. Rashi is saying is, Ho'i Ho'ir, the time has come. The time of the appointed time of destruction has arrived because it's a city that's corrupt. Let's see the Radak. Radak pasuk vav pasuk kikoyam Hashem kolaymar me'is Hashem hoyisazos ki hu etzel hashkis Hashem wants to destroy the city. Ve'ir es rucham lavo yoleha. And what does that mean? Hashem has aroused the spirit of the enemy to ascend to attack the city. Uchi'ilu Omar Elohim, it's as if Hashem is speaking to the enemy and is giving them a command. Eitzah, so here he goes again like Rashi, Kimo Eitz, and it's the collective noun, wood, cut down wood. The he is not a coming to define the word Eitzah, Kihi Rafa. The proof is we do not have a Mesorah that there should be a dot in this letter. Omar, what is the meaning of the Pasuk? Kirsu Eitzim, cut down wood, Lasos Mehem Doyek. A Doyek is a rampart. To pour a highway al Yerushalayim. So he seems to be learning now, like Rashi, that there are two different things. The number one is build roads, build infrastructure for the enemy can arrive in Yerushalayim, and build ramps. This refers to the, well, he goes on to say these are the stones. Pour the soil al Yerushalayim, the stones that you add to the dayok, to the rampart, on the city, in order to smash, demolish its walls and its towers. Uledas Yoinason, Soilula Hitel Gavoya, Soilula is not a ramp, it's a mound. Shatargum Soilula Mi Le Saw, the Hu Shashaif Sin off of Eitzim Toich Hachafiros, they pour earth and wood into a pit, Asher Saviv Hoir, Atshem Malam or Sami offer the Eitzim, Talim Savim, Mounts, Leir,
Al. Close up the moat.
They close up the moat, okay. Al Mili Hachafiros, Kedel Alis, Mehem Lachayma, Vukhuanikra, Soila. I don't know, because of the blood. Okay, it's some type of.
That
you're right, but he's not mentioning that. He's not mentioning. Then over here, the building over here is some type of tower, some type of. I don't know, some type of tower which are going to be used to launch an attack. Some type of tower or rampart or ramp, something along those lines. It's the same idea. It's some type of ramp or tower that they're going to use to launch an attack on the city. He ho'ir hofgat. that sin is being remembered. Even though the Baruch Hu is patient, lo yarich lo oid, Hashem will no longer show patience to the city, ki kulo oishak bekirbo, it is thoroughly corrupt. Becholu yimotze adam oishak bekirbo, kiloimar, afil b'sochir oishak, even in the city itself there is corruption, in tzoch lema chutzle b'dar rochim, and it goes without saying that there is corruption outside the city. Okay. So this concludes this pasuk. Now we go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk is a very popular, famous pasuk because everyone learns Masechta Brachos. Masechta Brachos is a halacha. There's a halacha that a person in the sugya of dreams, when a person wakes up and has a dream in the morning about a be'er, so a person should immediately say the pasuk be'er mayim chayim before it comes to his mind. This pasuk of ki hakir ba'ir meineha, like a spring issues its waters, Cain, Hekela, Ra'asa, so to you, my people, the city of Yerushalayim issues forth evil. Chomos Vashod, violence and thievery, corruption, evil, and all different expressions, Yishama Ba, Alpanai Tamid, I continuously hear reports or sounds of violence and destruction. Yishama Ba, Alpanai Tamid, Chali, there is sickness, Umaka, there is disease and affliction, which means, this means in response, Mida Kenegi Mida, being that I always hear sounds of chamas v'shem, I'm going to respond with punishing them with chali, illness, and makah. Now again, so what's this part? Specifically, he talks about a well. A well, the nature, the characteristic of a well is that it has its own source of water, and it's continuous. A be'er is something that provides a continuous source of water, of nourishment. Yeah?
If the punishment is because of oppression, but he's punishing the entire people who already...
Well, that's the age-old question. The age-old question is, just because there are a few rotten apples, why does everyone have to suffer? So the answer over here is that it was the corruption was significant among everyone. Everyone, and also toleration, that's a very popular answer, is the fact that it was tolerated is a sin in and of itself. I mean, that's the age-old question. How many people are the sinners, and how many people are suffering because Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechina? But anyway, over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that it's continuous, and it's not going to be solved anymore. And here in this pasuk, the analogy is a very frightening analogy, comparing the sin of the Jewish people to a spring of water. A spring of water has the characteristic of it having its own continuous source of water. Does not need to be resupplied. And that means that the sin of the people was so great, it just naturally flowed. That's not normal. The nature of a human being is to be a good person. To do sin is unnatural. Here they corrupted themselves to such a degree that it became natural for them to be sinners. And in this pasuk, the Gemara quotes himself, the Baruch, seems that everyone knows the Yirmiya on the tip of their tongue. And everyone, when the person says the word be'er, which is synonymous with the word bayor, here it says bor, we read it by year. It's the same word as a be'er. So a person, if he has a dream of a be'er, he should right away say a good pasuk, because kol hachalem is holchim achar hapeh, not to chas v'sholem bring upon oneself a bad omen by reciting this pasuk in Yirmiya of ki hokir, like it issues forth a bayir, a well, me'meha, or spring me'meha, Cain, Hekera, Ra'asa, so too does her evil issue forth. Let's see the mitzvah start. Pasik Zayin, Ki Hakir, Bayir, Kimo HaBe'er, Shememov Noivim V'Holchim, they continuously flow. Cain, Ra'asa, Noiva, her evil, the evil of the sins of the people flows, but Inu Pasekas does not cease. And therefore, what is going to be the consequence? Zakas chomos, the cries of violence were showed nishma bo lefonaitam. So Rashi in the Mitzvah learns that it's a consequence. The last two words are choli umako, or the punishment that Hashem will bring to the people in response to the sound of chomos v'shoid. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk zayin ki hakir loshon mikor. Kyarkir means just as it issues, there's an issue forth of water from a ba'ir. What is a ba'ir? It's a be'er. So too, Cain, hekera ro'asa, Cain loivas ro'asa, their evil flows. Tamid, moisifim, u'machachim, they continuously add and renew their evil. Chol yumako, al Cain, therefore, asisi ala mera u'macha. Rashi is like the Mitzudos. The last two words is the consequence of their sins. Let's see the Radak. Pasuk Zayin. Ki hakir min mikar. Ki hakir means from the source. Min mikar. The word ki hakir, min mikar, from the source. Bayir kimo be'er. Omar, what does this mean to say? What is the deep meaning of this pasuk? Kemoshe habe'er meimecho noivim tamid b'li hefsik. Just like a spring, its waters flow continuously without any interruption. Kein so too, hekeiro ro'asa v'zel shamar al ponai tamid. And that's what the pasuk elaborates in a few moments. Al ponai tamid. Umash omar tamid klamar shani roya mashkiach lo'ad. Hashem continuously observes the events of this world. The people Hashem is not watching. Now notice the Radak disagrees with Rashi and the Mitzudos. He interprets the words Choli Umako as one of the signs of corruption. He associates the words Choli Umako with Chomos v'shod. Chomos v'shod, Choli Umako yishomabon. She machlim ho'anim umakim v'sam. Part of the corruption of the people on Yerushalayim was they caused this poor to become sick, and they beat them. They beat them up kmo shenemar ufnei aniyim titchonu. They grind the faces of the poor. It's an expression meaning they cause them harm. Or he learns now, like Rashi and the Mitzudos, Oynesh hechamos v'hashoid, the sin of corruption and the evil. Shoid is what shoid is, extortion. The same thing as chamos. Shem oisem, because of these sins, and inevi aleihem choli v'maka. The Chayin Targum Innocent, the Yoma says, keguva dinekayim, just like mohi, the goymer, so to all bring upon them these two things as well. Okay, so machlokes between Radak and Rashi is the last two words, the pasuk, is it a response or is it a part of the corruption that is taking place in the city? Pasuk Ches, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, one last chance. I'm giving you one last chance. Hivasri means accept musar, accept rebuke, Yerushalayim. Because if you don't, this is your last chance. Ben teka nafshi mineth, my neshama Hashem will be dislodged. Until now, I am attached. I'm going to detach. Ben teka nafshi, I will detach my neshama mineth. Penasimech shemala, I will make you into a land that is desolate. Eretz loy neshava, as if it was a land that was never, this very frightening loy neshava, as if no one ever lived in this land. This is a very frightening pasuk, because these psukim, of course, don't just refer to the churban bayis rishon, it refers to the churban bayis sheni, it refers to all galus, and some of the psukim we're going to see in the next section are really, really, you can really read this psukim, and it's like, it's describing in very great detail the Holocaust. It's even more. It sounds like more and more relevant to the Holocaust than it sounded to the Churban Bayis Rishon. And here, this is something that we're fighting with Umos Olam for generations. The revisionists, people who say that Eretz Yisrael is a land where the Jewish people have no claim to. They claim we never lived there. that the Jews never there was never a temple, there was never a this, there was never a this. It's an Eretz Loy Neshava. It was never inhabited by the Jewish people. How can you deny the world of reality? Yet there are millions of people out there that are receptive to this garbage. They accept this, they believe this, and they do everything in their power to make it even more real. And all of this curse that we suffer from today, from these revisionists of history, it's alluded to in this pasuk. If you're not going to behave yourself, not only will I bring this terrible korban, I'm going to detach myself from you, I'm going to make your land desolate, I'm going to make your land so desolate, it will be like an Eretz Loy Noshava. People will come along and will say, the Jews never lived here. A Jew never stood for the only people who ever lived here were the Palestinians. It's their land. It's part of the curse. Part of the curse of not following Hashem's rotzer. Let's see what it says here in the Mitzvot of the Pesach. Kabli Musar. Accept my Musar penti. Tosur nafshi mech. If you don't accept my Musar, I'm going to remove my neshama from you. Eretz lo neshava. Ki'ilu lo yhoysa miyushaves me'oilam. Okay, it's powerful stuff. Let's see over here, Pasuk the Rashi, Pasuk Chesi Vashi Kavli Musar, same thing as the Mitzvot, Penteka, Pentinotek. Tinotek means to be detached. Hukah, now he just says the word Hukah does not appear in this Pasuk. I don't know why that's part of the Dibur HaMaskil, but I guess it's related to the word Teka, Loshon Chibur. The word Hukah means to be attached, and Teka means detached. V'hoikah Oysam. Hoika Asa means to connect them. Hoika Asa Mega Hashamesh. Loshon Chibur, you should connect them. The Yesh Loshon Asar Asa Chibur, the Har Beit Helos Misham Shosh came to hear this word, the Yesh, when the word Hukah, when you manipulate the word Hukah, it means just the opposite. This is a very common theme in Hebrew language. Yeshosh Yesharesh. To take root. To take root, to uproot. Sokol y sokel. To put a stone, to remove a stone. You have many, many words like that. And here's another word, teka, means to detach. Because the word hoka, it comes from hoka, which means to attach. All these different words. I always like telling you.
To pound a stake
in the earth. Opposite
to uproot.
It's the same letters, and when you manipulate the vowels, it means the opposite. Like one of my favorite examples is chalitza. Chalitzas hanoal. Chalitzas hanoal means to loosen the shoe. Right? Chalitza means take off the straps. What do we say every once a month? Chaim shel chilutz atzonos. What does that mean? Chilutz atzonos. So someone once told me once, he told me that what it means is, just like chalitza, chalitza means to loosen the straps, it means you should do exercise so your bones are loose in their sockets. So I said, if your bones are loose in your sockets, you're in a lot of trouble. To loosen up. That's what this fellow claimed. That's what it means, and that's what really what it means. In all of the translations, they translate it means strengthen. And I think what it means is really based upon this principle is the same letters. When you manipulate the vowels, it means the opposite. The bones that are tightly inserted into their joints is a sign of health. Chilutz atzamas means your bones should be firm. The bone should be well connected with ligaments and muscles. It's well connected. They're tightly attached to their joints. Chilutz atzamos. What?
Or
to loosen up.
To flex.
To loosen. That's so you want to say it means to loosen. Okay, in all translations, it's the strengthening of the bones. If it means to strengthen, then it means the chalitza means to loosen. So you have to say it means the opposite, like what it means over here. You take the same letters and you reverse the letters. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. And then also, let's go do, we have to do the radak. So the radak said, the radak pasuk has, he vastri, accept my musar. If you don't accept the musar, you're in trouble. Can take a nafshin mech. Shemloti vastri, you parade. I'm not going to have any favor, show you any favor, have any duty. Take a nafshim mimech kemoi vateka kafir. Yaakov's foot was dislodged. Okay, that's a great pasuk. Okay, he really is acknowledged on the mark. Yaakov's thigh was dislodged. Rishorashay Kuf Ayin Ayin Oyika. Everyone seems to be struggling to find the real struggle with this word Teika. Okay, everyone's here working very hard to find a good word, a good meaning. But it means the same means to detach. Like stone that will not be inhabited. Okay, ki ilu, frightening pasuk, you will be removed from the land any trace of Jewish history. Quite a call. Next, and we again, like I told you, we suffer this mamish every single day in Eretz Yisrael. This is part of the galus, the korban, right out of the pasuk of Yirmiyah. Okay, next, let's go to next pasuk. Pasuk tes. Even but they dig up stuff, you know, whatever. Now here we go to another interesting pasuk. Oilel ye'oilelu chagefen she'eris Yisrael. Very frightening pasuk. The remnant of the Jewish people will be like oilelois. What are oilelois? Oilelois means unripened clusters of grapes. Unripened clusters of grapes.
Very small grapes.
So what happens when you harvest grapes, you first go... A child.
Yes.
That's the Medrash. The Medrash, the Pshat, is the Pshat and the Medrash. The Pshat here, we're comparing Klal Yisrael to Oilelois, which means it is the derech of a farmer. Person has a vineyard. You go and you first collect the large clusters of grapes. Then you go back. And then you collect the smaller clusters. And then you go back. And you collect even the smaller. You keep on going back more and more until you finally finish collecting all of the grapes. And the Torah says, don't do that. Even though it may be the derech ha'olam for a harvester to go back to the field multiple times. You first collect the good stuff, and then you go back for the not so good stuff, and then you go back. Nachamol, Hashem says, leave it over for the poor. Let the poor take the last licks. So what here the Pasuk is telling us that Klal Yisrael, they're going to be, whoever survives the first round of Golus is just going to be fodder for the next round of Golus. And whoever survives the second round will just be fodder for the third round. And the fourth round, they'll keep on coming after you until there's no one left. That's exactly what the Nazis did. Over here he brings that up from the Das Seifer, the Dr. Nazi in the ghettos. When they went, they liquidated different cities. They first went in, they cleaned out the masses. Then they went back. And they went back many times, meticulously, until they cleaned out every last survivor that was found in these various cities, in these very various neighborhoods that they chose to liquidate. But on a larger scale, we'll go outside to the Medrash in a moment, Rashi will still be the inquiry, is that the goal is to talk about the Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim were exiled in stages. In three major stages. And also the Gaulus of Yehudim Yemen also took place in three major stages. And after each stage, everyone thought, okay, Dayenu, we're done. They're not going to come back for the next round. But no such luck. It was like Oilelois. Oilelois, the unripened grapes, the owner of the vineyard, he comes back to collect them after he's finished with the first group. It will be like an oilel, an unripened cluster of grapes. Oilelu, here's the verb form, will be collected. Chagefen, like a vine, these three words go together. The oilelois of the vine will be collected multiple times. That's what's going to be She'eris Yisrael, the remnant of the Jewish people. No one's safe. Hoshev Yodicha. Hashem is giving a command. Hashem says to the harvester, return your hand. Just because you went and you attacked and you brought Korban once, it's not enough. I want you to return your hand. Kivoitzer al sal silois, like a voitzer, someone who harvests grapes. The same is a repetition, a point of repetition upon. Now the word sal silois can be one of two things. Either it means the shoots. It means the young shoots of produce, which in this case refers to grapes, or it comes from a basket. It means like someone harvests grapes and he puts the little grapes into the small baskets. Okay, let's see the mitzvah. There's a lot of explanation to this pasuk, a lot of metaphors, a lot of richness in this pasuk. Oilel yoilelu chagefen. Mitzvah he learns chagefen. He translates these three words backwards. The first word you have to focus on is the word gefen. Like a vine, after you harvest them, and you're left with clusters of unripened grapes, it is the custom for the owner of the vineyard to go back and collect the small clusters of grapes. The enemy will come back for a second round and a third round. Next, second half of the pasuk, Hashem yotcha. This is a command. Hashem is addressing the Umma Yisraelim, and Hashem says, "Ato ha'oyev, you the enemy. Hashem shenis yotcha. Don't think you're finished. I'm controlling the events. You went and you did harm. Do it again. Lokachas b'goylo es hanistorim, the people that are in hiding." Like the boitzer hameshiv sheinis yado ba'avur, like the boitzer, the harvester who returns us in the second time, avur l'mashmesh l'chapes, to feel and to search achar ho'anavim hanistorim me'enav, that are hidden from his eyes. Now he is translating over here the mitzudos. Look at the mitzudos tzion, the compliment to his parish, sal selois inin mishmush v'chipush. We learned that once upon a time in Mishlei. You shall play with it. Play with it.
Like Yosef.
It's Misalsel Besaros. He curled his hair. He played his hair. So he's translating the word sal silos, none of the above. I told him it's either a shoot from the earth, or means a basket. That's not what he says. It means kvoitzer, like a person who's a boitzer, al sal silos. Al means ba'avur. He translates al here means a harvester, in order to feel. Return your hand again like a harvester so that you should feel around the vineyard to make sure there's nothing left to take. Make sure, feel all the hidden places to be sure that you have not neglected any, even one grape, one teeny little seed that is yet to be collected. Okay, that is the parish of the Mitzudos Dom. Rashi is different. Rashi Pasuk Tes says Oilel, and there's a lot of French, or Michal, you can help us here. What is...
He says Rapi Day, which I believe means to grapple or to grab hold of.
To grab hold.
Because he's talking about collecting.
Collecting. La'achar Shabbat Rakerem, the Nishadu Oilelois, after you harvest the vineyard and you leave with unripened grapes, and the Hanim Boim Boilim Oisam, the poor come to collect them, to grapple, to collect them. Kain Yavozu V'yachzu V'yavozu, likewise, that's what's going to happen to the remnant of the Jewish people. They're going to be plundered over and over again. Hoshev Yotcha, Mitzudas Rashi here learns like the Mitzudas. The Pasuk here is giving a command, it's a directive. Hoshev Ato Hasone, you the enemy. Hoshev Yotcha Lishlol Sheinis. Return your hand to collect a second time. Kibbutzer, like a harvester. Haneshev yodoy al. Now here you see al sal silois hamisalsel, who returns his hand al sal silois hamisalsel umechapes ho'elilois. And let's go further. V'chein hoyso. Now before you treat us, we'll translate in a few moments more precisely this word. But first, he gives us the analogy, and he quotes the Medrash. V'chein hoyso. Mishahigla es Yeho Yaakov. Here he's referring to the Churban Beis Hamikdash in reference to the Churban of Yehuda and Binyamin. So it was three stages. First, Yeho Yaakov was exiled with the Chorosh and the Masker. The craftsmen, the carpenters and the craftsmen, 11 years before the Churban Beis Hamikdash. That was stage one. He was killed. And then he put in his place Yechonio. Then he came back in 3 months. That's when he took the Choshen Masker, Yechonio. I'm sorry, Yechonio. So first he went and he conquered. That was the very he conquered Yehoyakim, and he appointed his son Yechonio. After 3 months, Nebuchadnezzar came back and he took him Chazal Lasev Shosh Chadashim V'Iglon. He took him to Golos, and he appointed in his place Tzidkiyahu. And Chazal Lasev Ashti Esrei Shana V'Iglon Es Tzidkiyahu. So here there are three different stages. After each stage, everyone in Klal Yisrael thought, enough. Dayenu, we're finished. No, three different stages. Now he goes back to translate in more precision the word salsalis. So what's that French word?
It's an unfamiliar word, but it means to search.
To search, okay. Exactly. That's what dunash, which is exactly what the mitzvah says, to feel. Go back, return your hand in order to feel the field, to make sure, to search, to make sure there's nothing lacking. Umenachim perash l'shoin sal basket.
Basket.
So that gives a bit of a different interpretation. What the pasuk then means is, he means that Hashem is sending here, just like.
It's like a,
you know,
almost like a bread
bag. Like a voitzer al sal silois upon the basket. In other words, go back. Go now. What exactly are you going back? Rashi's not only so here, he's not only explaining what it means the bath. So here in the art scroll, he explains. I think the Radak is going to say is the basket means that after you collect all the grapes into one basket, you would remove the grapes from one basket to another basket. You would further go to be boirer. You would separate the grapes in the big basket into smaller baskets. Different quality grapes, different color grapes, different types of grapes. So when you go into the field, you collect all the grapes into one basket. But then, we're not finished yet. Just because you collected the grapes in one basket, go back to the basket and remove the grapes in the big basket and put it into a little basket. And what does this allude to? It alludes to expulsions. That's what he says over here in the article. Beautiful idea is that Klai Yisrael thought, listen, we went into Golis. Nebuchadnezzar came, he took us from Golis, took us to Rome. Okay, we will set up shop in Rome. We'll build in Rome a beautiful Jewish community with pizza stores and all the amenities of life, and we'll be here for the next 2,000 years until Mashiach comes. Jews will never have to go to Spain, to Poland, to Hungary, to Czechoslovakia. They don't have to go to America. They don't have to go to Canada. They can stay where they are. No, 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 no. It's just like Hoshev Yodcha, just like the harvester. He goes into the field and he removes from the field the grapes. He puts into a basket. The grapes aren't done. They're not finished yet. Now the harvester is Hoshev Yodcha. He takes from basket number one and he puts it into basket number two. And then basket number two goes to basket number three. You go to the wholesaler. The wholesaler repackages it. And then he sends it out to different stores. And then the store has a surplus. So they send it from one store to another store. And it ends up going from basket, from package to basket. It goes all over the world until finally it's past its expiration date and it goes in the garbage. That's what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael. You think you're going to go into Golis once, you go from Gaul, from Eretz Yisrael to Rome, and from there, you'll go, you'll be expelled, and you'll be persecuted, and you'll go run to Germany, you'll run to France, you'll run to Spain, and you'll be persecuted there, and you'll run to Poland, and you'll run to Hungary, and who knows where you'll run, and then you'll go back to Germany, and then you'll be expelled from there, you'll have to go to America. And then in America, you're not going to be happy. You're going to have to go to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to go from place to place. That's how it seems. Rashi, that's what I think the Radak's going to say, but that's what we're drawing on this pasuk. It's a very powerful idea, is what it means over here, Hoshev Yadcha. First, it says, there's going to be multiple levels of the She'eris HaPleita. They're not going to have no Menucha. They're going to keep coming back for you. And I think you're finished. When the Golos finally settles down, no. Hoshev Yodcha. Hashem says to the enemy, now that the Jewish people have been plucked out of their land entirely after multiple levels, multiple occurrences, go back into the basket. Hoshev Yodcha kivoyitzer al, like a boitzer al sal silois upon his baskets. Expulsion, expulsion, expulsion. You'll be on the move forever. Okay, let's see over here the Radak can elaborate.
This is as some proportion tell us. Nowadays, that we've used up all the land in the world.
has to come.
There's no place else for us to run. We've run out of land.
The Messiah was America was the last stop.
To the end,
we're painted into a corner.
Right. America was the last. Who's the one who said that?
Beryl Wine made a point in one of his books. Yes. You know, our wanderlust is over.
Because nowhere else to go.
One to
yeah, but it's not really right because we go back.
Land.
When they were expelled, they went to first Baish, they went to Rome. Then where did they go? They went to Germany, they went in the cycles. It was just a merry-go-round. They went from place to place.
It's always out of space.
It's a good point.
Idea of morale, and that's what you got.
Yeah.
That because, and like the normal nation would be exiled to one place, but we're not a normal nation. We are a world-class nation, and therefore we are scattered throughout the world.
Right. You also have to understand, look, in the Ma'aseh of a Sillim and the Masos, several of the Masos, we went backwards. We went to the same places that we were there before. So, just because we've used up all the territory in the world, like you said, there's out of space, we could still go to Mars.
Well, you know what I mean?
Colonies on the moon.
In the paper that Spain now, about 10
years ago, back.
Invited us, all the Jews back. They want our money.
Yeah, now they're not the only country. The other countries that they're willing to take.
There were riots in Barcelona against Jews only 2 years ago. So, but the Israeli government and other Jewish organizations told them they could stick them, they survived.
All right. Look, they say that there's, I don't know who said, there was a Messiah from one of the Gedolei Shomrei, it was the Chofetz Chaim, that America is the last stop.
Right.
It's the last stop. It's interesting that today, I was a child, you got the sense, America, that's where the action is.
Right.
Today, I don't know if I'm mistaken, but you get a sense that, what?
Why?
Why is America the last stop?
Do you think the tide has totally turned? I don't.
What do you mean?
What?
The oil of Mount Torah.
You think that we're not still tolerated by a good majority of Americans?
Right. Yeah, we are obviously okay. I don't know. I take it back. You're right.
Campuses now. Do you think we are.
I think we are.
Yes,
we are.
How would it be when push comes to shove?
Okay, let's finish the Radak. Okay, let's finish. I want to finish. Let's finish the Radak on this Pasuk. Let's see Pasuk Tess. Pasuk Tes Koyim Hashem Oilel Mekar Min Adem El Meruba. Okay, this is a noun. I think he means. Okay, I do not know the diktuk, so let's just run through it. Ki Shiroshay Olal, the Shorish Ol is Olal. Omar Kamo Shema Alun Hagefen is referring back to the interpretation of the Mitsudos and Rashi that it refers to an undeveloped cluster of grapes. Exactly what the Mitzvah and Rashi said, that after a harvester, he collects the large clusters of grapes, he returns to the field to collect the small clusters. So too, and the remnant of the Jewish people are like the small undeveloped clusters of grapes in the vineyard. Period. The Oid perish, the Omar, Hashem says, I'm not finished with you yet. Not after we've done this, Hashem says to the enemy, Hoshev Yotcha, Kivoitzer al Sal Silois. Kol echad me'oivim yoimel lechaver. Each member of the enemy team will say to each other, Hoshev Yotcha lo voiz v'lishlol. Put your hands into their possessions to plunder and to despoil. Kimoshu hu boitzer umesim besalsta, like a person harvests and puts the grapes into baskets. Umeshiv yodoi pamach ha-pamach she'oil ha-gefen kula, until the entire thing has been plunged. So according to the first interpretation of the Radak is exactly like Rashi's first interpretation. It's like the search. After you harvest the grapes, feel the grapes and take it for yourself. The Yoinasan perish hoshev yodcha divrei hanavi k'neged ha-kel. Okay, now here I have an entirely new interpretation. The words are towards Hashem, Usesuv mechatoch alehoin kidimitotif al salslon. Return your anger from upon them, like kidimitotif al salslon. Like, okay, I'm not sure what that means. Salsilos kimo salim shorsha salal vadogish lois, I don't know what this means, I'm sorry. Okay, he has another interpretation which I'm not exactly sure what it means. Now, here... Okay, over here in the art scroll, maybe he's referring to the art scroll, he said over here something a little different. He says that Hashem is speaking to the Navi. Hashem is telling the Navi, this is not what it says in the Radak, but Hashem Yotcha Kivoitza al Salsila, this is a very deep idea. Yirmiyah, I want you to Hoshev Yotcha, I want you to extend your hand like someone who harvests upon small baskets. Sal is a basket. In this pasuk, it says the word sal twice. Sal silos. Sal silos has a connotation of multiple baskets. And what he means to say is, Yirmiyah, when you give Musar, giving Musar, the metaphor of giving Musar is called Hoshev Yotcha. Put your hand. When preachers would give Musar, they would raise their hands. They would raise their hands, which is expressed Hoshev, return Yotcha, or extend your hand, take your hand back. It's an expression to refer to give Musar. When you give Musar, don't give Musar in one big, one size fits all. Gather small groups of people together and give them a custom tailored Musar. Everyone needs to hear something different. Just like grapes, after you do the harvest, it is customary to put the grapes in small, little baskets. You don't bring grapes in one big, massive basket to the store, to the vat, because they can get crushed. The weight of the grapes will crush they'll crush themselves. You have to be very delicate. Likewise, when giving Musar, if you go and you get up, you make one big announcement. The reason why bad things happen to good people is because A, B, C, and D. Everyone gets turned off. Everyone needs to hear a different message. So you, Yirmiyah, when you are going to be in a state of Hoshev Yotcha, be like a voitzer, a harvester, al salsilois, who puts the grapes into different small baskets. Give your musar based upon the audience that is in front of you. No two audiences are the same. No two people need to hear the same thing. Everyone has to hear a custom tailored message. Okay, that is another interpretation. Now, there's a very popular medrash, and the medrash says the word oileilois refers to the children. Now, the truth is that really refers to what it says in pasuk yud al. That's not this pasuk. Let me just conclude with one other medrash. The Rashi mentioned the medrash is where everything took place. The godless took place in Yerushalayim, in Yehudim and Yamin, in three different stages. The godless of the Aseres Hashvatim also took place in three stages. Let me actually read for you very quickly this medrash, the beautiful medrash. Oilel ye'oilu kagefen she'eris Yisrael. Hanavi oilel ye'oilu kagefen. What does this mean? Just like a harvester, he comes back multiple times to collect the grapes in the vineyard for harvest. Also, so too, that's exactly how the Golus came about. It came about in stages. Now here, there were different kings. Ashur was made up of different kings over time. The first king of Ashur was Pul. Bo Pul Melech Ashur v'higla l'Ruveni v'lagodi v'chatsi v'menashe. He exiled three Shvatim. Ruvain, God, Chatsi Shem v'menashe on the other side of the Yarden. That was stage one. Pam Shmiya bo Tiglas Pil Eser. Okay, this was the next king of Asher. Some say they were all the same person, but some say they were successors. He was the one. Hekal Arzo Zavula, the Arzo Naphtali. He exiled two lands, Zavulun and Naphtali. Shneimar b'nei pechah ben melech Yishol, but Tiglas Peleser melech Asher. Vayikach es Iyoin v'yes Ovel beis Ma'acha. These two territories were Zvulon and Naphtali. The third was Pam Shlishis Ba Shalman Eser, another king, the next successor. Vehegla Aseres HaShvatim, the remainder of the Aseres HaShvatim, Shnei Mavhegla Melchashu, Nesu Yitzhol HaShura. So then that, just like it happened in three stages in reference to the Aseres HaShvatim, the marriage concludes, so too it happened the same thing in reference to the two Shvatim. Exactly what Rashi quoted, first came the Golus of Yehoyachin, then the Golus of Yechonia, and then the Golus of Tzidkiyahu. Chmoichin oi b'malchus Yehuda, Shagolus Sholosh Golus, b'nei Yehoyachim, all of the Yuchanetza, Veglas Yehoyachim. First Yehoyakim was exiled. The Goluim of Yerushalayim. Pam Shvi'a, 3 months later, Sholach Nebuchadnezzar es Nebuzardin Melech Yehoyachin. The Golus Acher Simoi. And then the third exile took place 11 years later at Tzidkiyahu. Pam Shlishes ben Nebuchadnezzar v'cholchilo Yerushalayim v'yotzar olecha v'heglas Tzidkiyahu ha-melech ha-shayuda u'vin yamin. And then there was a fourth Golus. I'm sorry, I only told you there were three, there was a fourth. And that fourth was in Egypt. The remnants of the Jewish people fled to Egypt. That is the whole incident of Gedaliah, Tzom Gedaliah. He was the leader. Pamavis Bonu Vuchanetzel in Mitzrayim. Vika es kol Yudim Hayordim Shal LeEzra. They did not listen to Gedaliah, and they fled to Egypt. So this is something that the Medrash has a little bit more than Rashi. Rashi only tells us there were three exiles for Yehudim and Yamin. Whereas here, in this Medrash, there were four exiles. There were four exiles that included the exile of Mitzrayim, and he mentions also the three of Yehudim, the three of the Aseres HaShvatim. Okay, we're going to